This is a CBC podcast.
Support for delivery of this podcast comes from the Buick Enclave, the finest luxury crossover ever. Visit buick.gm.ca to see that where there's passion, there's beauty.
Hi, my name's Mike O'Brien. Welcome to the CBC Comedy Factory Podcast, the podcast so influential that Pakistani President Musharraf has gone out of his way to ignore it. We're that powerful. But as they said in the Spider-Man movies, with great power comes great punchlines, or something like that. And I'm here with a guest this week who provides a lot of those punchlines. His name is L. Ray. Hello, L.
Hey, Mike. And you know things are bad in Pakistan when the refugee camps are emptying and people are spilling into Afghanistan, when people are moving to Afghanistan.
True enough. Now, Al, we don't actually have any Pakistani comedy this week. That's because President Musharraf has declared a state of seriousness.
It's very serious.
Yeah, effectively muzzling any comedy directed at him. And we wouldn't want to get in the bad books of someone widely regarded as a friend of Canada.
And with friends like that.
Exactly. Well, why can't Pakistan learn from our example on how to make a democracy work?
That's right, where all the parties get together and acquiesce to any policy that the ruling government put forward in order to avoid an election before they're ready to put their best man forward. In other words, to have the party's interests ahead of the people. I think that's democracy in action.
That's exactly what Thomas Jefferson had in mind. Now, this all actually ties into your new weekly column, right?
It does. It's called Quibbles and Grits. And you know why I didn't call it Quibbles and Tories?
Doesn't rhyme.
Because it's not even a lame pun. I would rather have a lame pun than nothing.
This is as lame as I've seen.
It's bad. It's really bad.
This is the Tiny Tim. This is a Dickensian lame kind of pun.
Quibbles and Grits was the best I could come up with.
Well, let's listen to the first one. This is Quibbles and Grits.
Yes, Parliament's back, and so is Mulroney.
I did not have relations with that man, Karl-Heinz Schreiber.
Yes, the only man for coffee, folks. But no matter what dirt gets dug, there's no indelible stain sticking to Mulroney's blue suit. The new allegations are part of the Fifth Estate's new series, Remember the 80s, or as Mulroney calls it, Video on Trial. But back to the present day. The mini-budget came down, and boy, were the Liberals kind of, sort of, something.
The GST tax cut is not a good decision for the country, and all the experts agree. We will choose the time where we want to defeat this government, and then Canadians will have two plans, and our plan will be very compelling, very comprehensive, very attractive for Canadians.
We don't have a plan, but when we do, it will be super good. What's the French word for wishy-washy? Still, it's nice to see the Liberals strategically noncommittal for a change. If we could just cram three election campaigns into the next 5 years, the GST might disappear for good. Now, if only the Tories would cut tax on books, it might save Yon Martel some money. He's the world-famous in Canada novelist who is sending works of literature to the Prime Minister to protest the fact that Tories have increased funding to the arts. Or something. Jack Layton, of course, was furious about the mini-budget, too.
He cut the funding that helped the most vulnerable people in the society just when we discovered we had more money than we knew what to do with.
Oh, sorry, that's a clip of Jack from the last election. You know, the more the Tories cut taxes, the more Jack Layton starts to sound like this to most middle-income Canadians. Wah, 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 wah. And finally, taking a leaf from George Bush's playbook, Stephen Harper met the Dalai Lama, something neither Liberals or U.S. Democrats have ever done. The Chinese are furious because all the Hallmark greeting card platitudes the Dalai Lama dispenses as wisdom the Chinese were hoping to use in their Beijing Olympic theme song.
Stand still like a tree while the government firing squad aims.
He's a courageous man, the Dalai Lama, but his take on the world seems a little naive. I mean, just listen to this.
He cut the funding that helped the most vulnerable people in the society just when we discovered we had more money than we knew what to do with.
Oh, sorry, that's Jack Layton again. I'll have more political news next week, hopefully a little less cynical. Sorry, folks, but when your federal goods and services tax is a mere 5%, life does seem cheap. For CBC Radio, I'm Al Ray.
Ah, there it is, Al, the debut. Thank you very much. I look forward to hearing more. Now, Al, you just brought us up to date on what's going on in Ottawa. Let's check in with Diana Francis, who will bring us up to date on what's been happening out there in cyberspace.
Diana Francis, isn't she that vampish Vancouver comedian, the one everyone's talking about?
Thank you, my little 1930s newsboy. Yes, that Diana Francis. Each week, she is the Google Zeitgel. When a whole lot of people look for the same thing on Google, it shows up on their hot trends section.
And once a week, Diana reveals the hottest gaining search and explains why it piqued so much interest with bored, lonely teenagers. Here's the Google Zeitgal.
I'm the Google Zeitgal, and it's time to find out what hot trends are gassing up the Google search engine. Starting with last Friday, the big search was for Hillary Clinton Uncensored.
People will finally realize the threat posed by Hillary Clinton to this country and the rest of the world.
The clip that could damage Senator Clinton's run for the White House got more than 350,000 hits during the last week. Lucky for Hillary, the people who watch YouTube don't vote. On Saturday, the city of Edinburgh was voted the world's scariest city by the online travel retailer LastMinute.com. The city boasts many horror-inducing attractions, such as the Edinburgh Vaults, the Ghost Tour, and the toilet scene from Trainspotting. On Sunday, everyone hit the internet to find out why their computers and cell phones got an extra hour of sleep, but they didn't. Turns out, daylight saving time has been moved from the last Sunday in October to the first Sunday in November to save energy and confuse old people. So turn your clocks back an hour this Sunday the 4th at 2 a.m., half an hour later in Newfoundland. On Monday, the hot search was all about Amy Fisher. Now, you remember the Long Island Lolita, don't you?
Did you go home and tell Mary Jo that you're having sex with a 16-year-old?
That's disgusting. You came to my house, shot my wife.
Oh, this is so stupid.
Well, now Fisher has split with her husband Lou Bellera and is trying to stop the release of a sex tape they made earlier this year because she says she is disgusted. Wow. Even Amy Fisher doesn't want to watch a sex tape starring Amy Fisher.
You're nasty.
Tuesday's search was all shook up by an earthquake that hit Northern California.
5.6 earthquake that struck. We're told.
Man, it has been a rough month for you, California. I know you're not the most religious of states, but you've made someone upstairs very angry. You should maybe get down on your knees and pray to L. Ron Hubbard for forgiveness. It worked for Tom Cruise. On Wednesday, the big news was former Prison Break actor Lane Garrison being sentenced to over 3 years in prison for a drunk driving crash that killed a 17-year-old last year. I hope the warden watches the show, because Garrison might have a few ideas on how to get out of there. On Thursday, General Mills recalled 5 million frozen pizzas due to a possible E. coli contamination. The company released a statement saying, if you throw up within 30 minutes, the pizza is free. And that brings us to the hottest search of the moment. Dwayne Chapman, also known as Dog the Bounty Hunter, is apologizing after he was caught on tape in a racist rant against his son for having a black girlfriend.
It's not because she's black. It's because we use the word sometimes here. I'm not going to take a chance ever in life of losing everything I've worked for 30 years because some heard us say and turn this into the Inquirer magazine. Our career is over. I'm not taking that chance at all.
Ironically, A&E has now stopped production on the show, and Chapman may lose everything he's worked for the last 30 years. Too bad. I would have liked to have seen the episode where Dog hunts down Lane Garrison. For CBC Radio, I'm Diana Francis, the Google Zeitgal.
You know what's weird about Dog the Bounty Hunter?
Yeah.
Dog. Spelled backwards is God. Think about it, man. Think about it. And who is the ultimate bounty hunter? Tracking us down. God.
I see what you're saying. Okay, so we can look for the next show on A&E's lineup to be God the Bounty Hunter.
That's right.
I wonder if he has the mullet. All right, well now, Al, besides being a writer-performer here at CBC Radio's Comedy Factory, you are also the artistic director of the Winnipeg Comedy Festival.
I am.
Now, you've also done a lot of stand-up. What to you is the most important thing in stand-up? When you see somebody who really separates himself from the pack, what is it that they have going?
I think there's two factors that I really look for when a comic is just starting. One is timing. I'm a big fan of timing, and there's very little proponents of really what I would consider the sort of old school timing, where half the laugh, if not more, is coming from the fact that it's being placed at exactly the right spot. It's almost like a kind of a musical interpretation. And the other is just that the originality of thought that I think makes stand-up one of the most immediate and compelling art forms, is that comics think in a certain way, and if you use that type of thinking to look at genuine social problems and problems in our society, they can be extremely powerful social critics. Very few do, unfortunately.
Mm. I know what you said about timing. The old comics like Jack Benny, who, I mean, he got his jokes by what he was not saying, right?
It was the pause, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And it's ask me what the important, most important thing in comedy is.
So what is the most important
timing.
Thing in comedy? He set me up.
Ask me who invented sarcasm.
Who invented sarcasm?
I did.
Well, our next contributor is a stand-up in Toronto. I think she has great timing. I think more than anything, she has volume and energy.
She's very personable.
She is. She is a Comedy Factory regular. I'm talking about Deborah DiGiovanni.
Well, we've enjoyed some sweet comedy, but nothing sweeter than Halloween candy. And Halloween's just over, and now we've got a big holiday coming up. Where does the time go? That's what Deb DiGiovanni wonders in this little comedy item.
According to my calculations, it was Halloween 1 week ago. Trick-or-treaters haven't even made a dent in their loot, and candy is just now at a super discount in the drugstores. It is barely November, and we've only just gained an hour of sleep with daylight savings time. And yet, at the mall, it's Christmas! Wow, easy retailers, easy. I was at a Canadian department store yesterday, and I was surrounded by garland and baubles, and there were actually signs wishing me a happy holidays. Can I not enjoy a little autumn first? Seriously, we only get a few weeks of fall. Let's just relish it a bit, okay? Why don't we all just kick around in the pretty leaves for a while and enjoy just wearing a jeans jacket for 15 days or so before we're ensconced in the Yuletide? Christmas will be here soon enough, everybody. It comes every year and no one ever forgets about it, even if we're not reminded again and again starting 7 weeks prior. Please understand that I am not a Scrooge. There's no bah humbug in regards to the festive season. I like Christmas as much as the next gal, but I'd just like to hold off on the mistletoe until at least December 15th. And you're welcome. Okay, think of this. The more we hurry Christmas, the sooner snow comes. Huh? What about that? And it's stressful, too. There's lots of money to spend, too much food, too much family. Personally, I need all the prep time I can get. Now, this message is not just for the retailers, but also those of you who feel the need to get all Santa's village in your homes before Remembrance Day. The Christmas season, according to the old carol, is a mere 12 days long, people. And really, isn't that enough? Or are we all so bored with our lives that we're all desperate to grasp onto any form of celebration as soon as we're able and hold it in a death grip until the second week of January? And of course, the second week of January is when the world begins celebrating Valentine's Day. Ugh. Okay, I, for one, am starting to feel like my life is racing past me. Days blend into weeks and weeks into months, and before I know it, I'm a year older. I would very much like to slow down, please, and live each day as it happens. I don't need Christmas shoved down my throat before I bleed my radiators. For CBC Radio, I'm Deborah DiGiovanni.
Now, the podcast this week is a few minutes shorter than we normally put out. And that's because most of the Comedy Factory regulars are working on a new series for CBC Radio. Can't talk about it. Very hush-hush. I'll just say that we've been busy this week, and we'll probably be busy next week working on it every day, planning where we're going to eat lunch.
Eating lunch, and then in the afternoon, reminiscing about how great our lunch was.
And looking ahead to the next day's lunch. You know, it's a wonder.
Speaking of which, I'm getting a little hungry.
We're going to the burger joint today. Now, as a result, the podcast is short and sweet. So for our final shot of aspartame, let's reach back into our archives and retrieve a skit from the Comedy Vault.
Gee, I can't believe you didn't use that sound effect last week during your Halloween episode, Mike.
I was saving it. My pick from the vault this week was inspired by all the political goings-on in Pakistan. Dean Jenkinson and I did this in April of 2006 when Chinese Premier Hu Jintao visited Washington.
Gesundheit.
He writes his own stuff, people. Now, that was a controversial visit due to the human rights issues going on in that country.
The U.S.
China.
Oh,
from restriction of freedoms to suppression of the Falun Gong.
Which, of course, is a large metal percussive instrument.
That was shameful. This one goes out to President Musharraf.
Am I up? Who's on first?
Thank you. I would like to thank President Bush for his hospitality. I hope our two nations can discuss China's growing need for oil and find creative ways for our two nations to share this precious and finite resource.
I would like to thank President Hu for his generous gift of a bicycle. The United States extends our best wishes not only to the Chinese president, but also every Hu down in Whoville. And we welcome China to the 21st century, an age of openness. President Hu tells me the Chinese people are at last embracing the wonders of cyberspace.
China welcomes the internet and the literally dozens of websites out there, including People's Committee for Unbridled Praise.com, Obedience.net, and the ever-popular PartyOfficialsGoneWild.com.
The United States also encourages China to find a peaceful resolution around that whole Taiwan thing.
China appreciates America's encouragement to solve problems peacefully and thanks it for the shining example it sets for the world in this area.
I appreciate that. And we encourage Mr. Hu to further the advancement of free speech in China.
I can assure you, those who say they are not allowed to speak freely will not be heard saying so much longer.
That's good stuff, good stuff. Way to go.
Quit killing people! You're a tyrant! Your days are numbered!
Look, I'm tired of defending myself against these kind of...
Free Falun Gong!
Oh, I think this one's aimed at you, Hu.
Freedom for the people!
Listen, don't interrupt me when I'm trying to talk about free speech. Secret Service, take her away.
China admires how Mr. Bush keeps a straight face.
In conclusion, our two nations have many challenges to face, but I am confident that there are solutions. I look to President Hu to come up with solutions that are truly made in China, but not cheap and prone to breaking, and not made by children.
What an asshole.
Now,
why don't you come on into the dining room, Mr. Hu? Laura can show you our China. We keep it all locked up, too.
That is all for this week. If you thought this podcast was short...
I didn't.
I think next week is going to be even shorter. Now, if you like the podcast, rest assured, we will be back to full strength soon. If you don't like it, well, hey, be happy that we're shorter. Actually, if you don't like us, why are you listening? I want to thank my guest today, Mr. L. Ray.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun doing the thing with the kids for the kids today.
Yep. Now let's go have lunch. We'll have more of L's column, Quibbles and Grits, next week. If you have any thoughts that you want to share with us about the podcast, drop us a line. My email is mike_O'Brien@cbc.ca. O'Brien is O-B-R-I-E-N. Thanks, folks, and so long.
When I do this Podnet thing, do I get more money?
Hi, I'm Jesse Brown. I'm the host of Search Engine, a new CBC radio show that is all about how the internet is changing politics and culture. It's not a gadget show. We don't really care much about technology so much as we care about the effect that technology is having on the world that we live in. All of the surprising and significant and funny stories that we bring you on Search Engine are about things that are happening right now. In the short time that we've been on the air, we've already become the CBC's most popular news podcast in the States. So come find out why. Subscribe to our podcast on CBC's podcasting page or through iTunes.